Chapter 45. Need.
I'm going to decrease the volume by 93.6%. That should allow you to hear what is happening without the sounds spreading into the hallway. I have also modulated the video file so that only you will be able to see it.
He nodded, foreboding growing within him. G's face was replaced by a new image. He was now looking at what appeared to be a room lined in wall-to-wall red tile and filled with furniture completely upholstered in red leather. As soon as the image resolved, screams reached his ears. The camera quickly panned to a face he knew well. It was Ashley, one of the few friends he had in his new life. The same friend he and Lauren had shared a meal with right before the wave. Right before she died. Finn's heart grew cold as a sunken stone as he watched a pair of ornate black scissors slice her ear off. Ashley screamed even harder as blood spurted and tears ran down her face.
Why? She screamed. Why are you doing this to us?
Finn's heart hardened further at the last word. Us? Whomever was making the snuff film answered his question all too soon. The image panned around, and he saw more than a dozen people, all bloodied and bearing signs of torture. He knew each and every one of them. These were his friends. It was everyone that had been at the dinner party with him and Lauren before the wave. And their families. Children and elderly people were strapped to various devices, all crying out in pain and fear. The camera panned back to Ashley, who was slumped down and weeping in her bonds. Off-screen, he heard a woman's voice ask in a heavy German accent,
"Do you want me to stop?"
"Yes,"
Ashley whimpered.
"I cannot hear you."
"I said yes,"
Ashley cried louder, a bit of defiance still inside of her. Finn's heart warmed with the heat of a single ember upon seeing that, but it froze over completely after what came next.
"Then say, help me, Finn."
At first, Ashley didn't comply, but within a minute of the torturer using her razor-sharp scissors again, a now noseless Ashley screamed out,
"Help me, Finn!"
True to her word, the camera operator stopped cutting her. The scissors were applied to her child until the same words were screamed.
"Help me, Finn!"
What came next was a highlight reel of sadism. The torturer would cut a piece off each person in the room until they screamed out, "Help me, Finn." If the person screamed out before having something sliced off, they would lose an eye, and then something else would be removed. Until each paid with at least an ounce of flesh and then screamed the magic words, the pain didn't end. His friends, their husbands, wives, parents, and even their children were tortured to death before his eyes. The entire video lasted only 3 minutes, which did not mean the torture of more than a dozen people had been limited to that amount of time. In fact, due to a timestamp in the bottom left corner of the video, he knew that the torture of most of the people he cared for on Earth had taken long, long hours. It was just that whoever had sent him this had decided to make a highlight reel of their sadism. The torturer had made sure he not only heard each person scream in agony, but also their pained pleas of, "Help me, Finn." The entire video was a chorus of the damned.
"Help me, Finn,"
sobbed a man as he cringed away from the approaching scissors.
"Help me, Finn!"
screamed a woman, her voice high-pitched as a finger was severed one knuckle at a time.
"Help me, Finn!"
shrieked a child who looked no older than 8 next to her screaming, lipless brother. The cries echoed in the room and over the stone of Finn's heart. He did not turn away. He would not dishonor the pain of these innocents by not bearing this small iota of it himself. Maybe whoever had done this had thought to hurt him by showing him the pain of his loved ones. Whoever they were, they did not truly know pain. Maybe they were trying to torture him by showing him what they were capable of doing. Whoever they were, they did not understand torture. Maybe they even wanted to just let him know they planned to take revenge, They did not understand revenge. But they would. His hands began to shake. Not out of fear, not out of distress, out of need. He needed to bathe them in blood. He needed to find whoever this was and share his gift with them. The gift he'd spent so long burying deep within himself after the war. So far down, he never planned to let it see the light again. It was time to let it out. Another person, any other person, would have stopped watching. A normal man would have shed tears, would have sworn in anger and vengeance. A person who was not broken inside would have felt sick. Finn felt hungry. He fed every cry, every tear of skin and muscle, every spray of crimson blood to the thing waiting behind his eyes, deep in the most twisted pit of his soul. It ate the horror of the video eagerly, lapping at the bars of the cage he'd forced it into after the war, wanting every drop as it screamed in joy and fury at the appetizer he'd allowed it. Fury because it had been denied so long, joy as it knew it would feast again soon. The video ended, finally showing the face of his enemy. Until that point, all he'd seen of the torturer was a well-manicured white hand holding the dagger-like scissors. The sadist had no intention of hiding any longer. A blonde woman, with hair so light it was almost white, stood in a white evening gown. A white lace mask covered the top of her face. It was so delicate and ornate it did nothing to hide her identity. Instead, the mask was ornamental, the kind of thing you wore to a party or in celebration. The dress she wore was so covered in blood that it was sodden through. The wet material was plastered to her body, revealing her erect nipples. In one hand, she held a dripping pair of ornate scissors. The other was raised to her full pink lips, a single bloody finger resting against them as she softly breathed, "Shh," as if comforting a troubled child.
"This will be your fate. This will be the fate of everyone you love."
The video disappeared. Geneva's voice echoed out from his link.
"Finn, the video self-deleted, and the sender completely masked their identity. I don't even have a log of receiving any message. It's like the video never existed."
None of that should be possible, not with great link technology. The world AI had great power and seldom ever used it. It subtly guided humanity as a whole towards what would hopefully be a brighter future. One of the times it had asserted itself, however, was to remove the possibility of anonymity when communicating with another person. It did this to encourage personal accountability. There were no hidden IP addresses like in the past, no fake IDs that keyboard warriors could hide behind as they spewed filth and bile at the world. If you said something hateful about a group or person, the world AI would not punish you, but it would not let you hide behind anonymity. That simple change had led to a 99% reduction in cyberbullying, online hate speech, and digital abuse overnight. There was still plenty of privacy, even more than before the war, as the world AI guarded personal information better than any firewall from the old world. That privacy only extended to the point that you did not choose to engage another person, however. It was possible to circumvent that rule, but the only people Finn had heard of doing so were highly ranked government officials, and that was only because the world AI allowed there to be different rules for those placed in positions of power. The fact that a random person could send the video anonymously and also erase their tracks was not something that should be possible. In that moment, Finn could not care less. After having watched the agony of those men and women, he had come to a simple, labyrinth-shaking resolution. He would destroy the woman who had tortured his friends and their loved ones. He would make her own words a self-fulfilling prophecy. He had sworn to never again be the man he had been during the war. That was a promise he would break, and any price that came with that shattered vow, he would pay gladly. Finn would wage war in the only way he knew how. Without hesitation, without reserve, without mercy. The time of peace was over. It was time to finish cultivating fire. He was about to blink back into his cave of whispers to do just that, but his link buzzed again. He might have ignored it, not needing to see another video of misery and pain. But Geneva told him the message was a simple text message that had been flagged urgent. Giving his assent, a holographic sentence scrawled down his arm. It began with a single bold word. Run!